Hey, Zero Block 30 listeners, you can find us every Tuesday and Friday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. Prime members can also listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
Summer is all about the freedom to have fun. Forget a vacation and take a tequila-cation with new Truly Tequila Soda. This refreshing blend of real fruit juice from concentrate, sparkling water, and premium tequila blanco is the drink of the summer. Try all four refreshing flavors, all with 5% ABV and just 100 calories. Truly Tequila Soda. Keep it light. Hard Seltzer Beverage Company, Boston, Massachusetts. Please drink responsibly.
It's a throwback Friday edition here on Zero Block 30. Kate is out. It's just me and Cons in the building today. We're going to have an interview with Jenna Burkett, who is one of the wrestlers on the U.S. Army's team. She's trying to be an Olympian. Dude, I would be so pissed if I had worked essentially my entire life to be an Olympian. And right? Then they're just like, no.
Yeah, not going to happen. Sorry about that. Because the other thing, it's not like, okay, cool, you can just wait next year. It's like, no, it's another 4 years. And in another 4 years, who knows? There might be somebody younger, faster, stronger that comes along and you don't even make the Olympic team. No one's going to feel bad for you because every time we put on a team for the Olympics, we want to put our best foot forward, put our best athletes. We're not putting people there for participation trophies.
Yeah, I mean, when I remember just the disappointed feeling that I would have when I was like 10 and you'd go up and you've been waiting all week for your baseball game.
Yeah.
Next thing you know, the clouds roll over and having to wait like till the next Saturday felt forever.
Just I mean, a bummer.
Now 4 years you got to wait to go. But they were telling us after the interview was over, that instead of going to Tokyo, they might be going to fucking Siberia, where we were talking about last week. There, the international competition for wrestling would be Siberia. And before that, it was Kazakhstan. Can we get some better location for the wrestlers? My God, Kazakhstan and fucking
But think about this. If you had to think of any places in the world that would be free of coronavirus and not really worried about getting it, those are a couple countries where I'd be like, I think I'm okay.
Yeah, here. I guess because it like thrives in warmer environments, things like that. Going to Siberia might be the best, but it was 100 degrees in Siberia now. Goddamn global warming.
I still think you get off the plane, the coronavirus gets off the plane in Siberia and just says, nope. Turns around and says, I'm out of here.
When you're at the bar though, and you're talking to somebody when you're 35, 40 years old about some of your life experiences that you've had, tons of people have gone to France. Tons of people have gone to Germany. Tons of people have gone to Ireland. You're like, let me tell you about the time I went to motherfucking Siberia.
Mm-hmm.
They want to hear that story.
Yeah, that's a record scratch at the cocktail party. Wait. I've only heard about Siberia in movies, in my dreams. Let's hear about it.
I, honest to God, am going to ask Dave if I can go. Like, if I can go to Siberia with
might
the
as
US
well.
RPT.
I mean, Clem went to freaking, where did Clem go? Croatia.
Latvia.
Latvia, yeah. I mean, yeah.
Which I didn't even know was a place. Sometimes there is countries that pop up. Like, people made fun of President Trump when there was a country that he had never heard of. Whenever he got elected, and people were trying to roast him for that. I was like, dude, if I went through, I guarantee you, if we did like a ZBT type of trivia with somebody running for president, like we had Tammy, or what was her name? Fucking the congresswoman from Hawaii.
I know who you're
Tulsi
talking
Gabbard.
About. Yeah, Tulsi Gabbard. Yeah.
We had Tulsi Gabbard on the show again, and we went through a list of some of the countries in the world, and I threw in a couple that I made up. I bet she wouldn't pick out all of them. I mean, she might get like 8 out of 10, but I bet I could slip a couple by her.
There's what, like 187 countries, I think, in the world, give or take, something like that.
And that changes.
It does change. Yes, it is weird. You wouldn't think that changes, but it does. But also, like, I don't like when people roast people like, oh, you didn't know that was a country. You're just a freaking idiot. You put a piece of paper with a map in front of just about anybody in the world and said, all right, cool, name every country.
Nobody can do that.
No. I mean, there's very few percentage
like
of people
Ken
that
Jennings
be able to do
probably
it.
Could and some of those other folks, but most people can't do that. I remember watching The West Wing and thinking Kumar was a real place.
Yo, right? I remember the first time I put that on, I was like, wait a second, let me double check. And I Google Kumar and it's like fictional country from The West Wing.
But it sounds real as shit.
Yeah. Well, credit to Aaron Sorkin then.
Yeah. It sounds super real. Not as real as keeping your friends and family safe with our good friends at Simply Safe. Simply Safe is the way to keep everybody safe, especially right now. You just have to plug it in with a little bit of Wi-Fi, you'll be fine. SimpliSafe is safer than any other thing that you can attach to your home. It was designed and easy to use to protect your home 24/7. You can order online and click of a button, open the box, place the sensors in, plug it in, and your home is protected around the clock. No technician or salesperson is needed to disrupt your house, and you don't need to pay any of your outrageous fees. The part where you don't need to have somebody come in your house is huge. I think I mentioned that with the tent guy. Did I talk about that on the last show?
I don't think so.
So the tent guy came, and I had, because I had my windows tinted with like this bronze.
You're saying tent. I thought you were saying tent. I didn't know you were getting a tent.
No, not a big tent guy. And he had to walk all through the house with his shoes and coughing all over the place.
That's the worst.
Like, what are you
especially
doing?
Now.
Take come your on. Shoes off. You got wood floors. Take them off. SimpliSafe doesn't have that.
You grew up in a barn.
I know. Head over to simplisafe.com/CBT and get free shipping and 60-day money-back guarantee. That's simplisafe.com/CBT to make sure that we know, or that they know, that that we sent you. That's the way it's going down today. So I went to the neurologist, went to get a second opinion, which people were recommending that I did. And I had been Googling and researching all kinds of stuff about what's going on with Parkinson's. Did you know that Parkinson's initially is diagnosed 40% of the time it's diagnosed wrong?
Wow, no. And I would think maybe, 10, 20% seems like a reasonable number. 40%
is a lot.
That's a lot of misses. That's a lot of misses.
I don't trust, if it's 40% of rain, I'm almost sure it's going to rain.
Yeah, that's pretty good chance.
Yeah, I'm like, it's probably going to rain. We're not going golfing that day. So I went there, and I had been talking with one of my friend's wife, who is a neuropsychologist, and she was telling me, she was like, some of the stuff just doesn't add up together. Like, it doesn't add up that whenever you're busy and you're working harder, that's when like the shaking starts happening. She's like, that's not really a sign of Parkinson's, which was good. Like, I kind of was getting my hopes up, and I was talking to my therapist, like my normal counselor, before I went in, and I was like, he said, how do you feel about going to a second checkup? And I said, honestly, I feel kind of hopeful. Like, I don't want to get my hopes up. I'm hoping that the diagnosis was incorrect. But I don't want to get my brain like in that moment, because I had done so much research on it, like in the signs. And to me, it wasn't matching up what was going on. I walked in. So Army medicine, military medicine is so different, because you can't sue your doctor. Like, in a lot of other places, people are like, oh, misdiagnosis, dude. Like, the mental anguish that they put you through, sue them. You can't do that shit, military. So I was telling this same friend's wife, they made my old doctor come in the room with the supervisor so they could give me the correct diagnosis.
Oh, wow.
And so whenever they came in together, I was looking at it, I was like, fuck, man. Like, they're going to confirm that it's Parkinson's, and they're both here to give me like a plan of action, what I need to do, and it's going to be worse than I thought. And he basically just roasted the other doctor. Like,
was the other doctor like younger, older?
Younger. And okay. He was like, she shouldn't have done this. She was like, you're so young. She should have got a second opinion. She should have talked to me before. She wants to apologize, like made her apologize and
wow,
all kinds of stuff. And I was damn.
I feel like you don't hear that very often. But here's the thing.
But I walked out of there like, okay. Like, he understood kind of what I went through the last 2 weeks. Cause that's a big deal, man.
Yes.
Like, you give somebody, like, you have Parkinson's.
Dude, that's life altering.
Yeah. Like, it's a legit, I got rid of my fucking couch. I bought a water rower. Like, I thought all kinds of stuff. I was planning on what I was going to do the rest of my life, how it was going to go down.
Yeah. That's not, hey chaps, you got a stomach bug. It's, pretty, pretty, pretty significant. But I think what's funny is people forget that sometimes they just assume, oh, doctors, they're smart. They know everything. You know what? Somebody had to graduate last in that medical school class, right?
Yeah.
Not all doctors are created equal. So it's always very, very important to get a second opinion there.
And when you're thinking brain doctors, like, you throw in, I'm a neurologist.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you better be fucking real smart to be a neurologist. And I mean, I do kind of understand, like, you how many times do you see the same shit as a doctor? It would be exciting to give somebody a rare diagnosis every now and then, throw that in there.
Yeah.
Like, oh, it's not the flu. Like, you got something else. You got something fucking weird. So I've been around minnows. You got like a minnow up your dick. Like,
and then you're back at that other cocktail party and you're like, let me tell you about the time I early diagnosed somebody with Parkinson's. It was quite the scene that one time.
Yeah, so he didn't bury the lead. He was like, I just want to say first up that I don't think you have Parkinson's. He's like, I think what it is it's called the essential tremors. And the mistake was made because I do have like a history of brain injuries that they kind of overlapped. And the way that he explained it, which I thought was a brilliant way to explain it, especially for somebody like me who likes pictures. He said, imagine you're doing tracing whenever you're like a kid and you're tracing. And I put down 15 pieces of paper and each one of those papers has an individual spoke of a star. And he said, essentially, as a neurologist with somebody with your history, we're trying to look at the entire piece of paper and determine which paper underneath that star is the spoke that's causing the problem. And just looking from the top, I was like, okay, that makes sense. That's like a tough thing to do, you know, like to figure it out on the fly. But he said the treatment is essentially the same. Like, it's exercise, eating right, and taking care of myself and things like that. But the level of progressive, it's still like a progressive type of diagnosis, but it's at like 1% instead of could be 17 to 25% progression per year, which is great.
And you're getting it as probably as early as one could possibly get the diagnosis, and you're making those lifestyle changes. So, you know, hopefully those will take hold and you'll make those changes that will have the positive effect on you. So, I mean, that's great news overall. Cause like you said, I mean, getting that diagnosis is that's some like, hey, I'm going to sit up in bed by myself and not say anything for a few hours and just think type diagnosis.
I honestly felt bad yesterday because there have been several people who reached out and like, I'm going through the same type of thing. My brother or my sister has Parkinson's, and it'll be not nice, but it'll be to have somebody that'll go through the struggle with. I felt guilty. Like,
yeah,
some people that are, you wish that everybody could get that kind of good news, you know. But
I think it's just a little different because, you know, people go through things in their lives, but not everyone has the same platform that you have, right? So you almost feel compelled to tell people what's going on, because as much as you want to put on a brave face and come on this podcast or your radio show and act like your life's great and nothing's wrong, you're still a human being. There's still things that go on that negatively impact you and potentially affect your mood. So if you got a diagnosis like that, to just keep that bottled up, like, it's one thing to tell us behind closed doors, but then to just go on as if nothing's wrong in your life, I think that's just a little abnormal. Like, as much as, I mean, there's certain things of everyone's private life that they don't share, and I think that's fine. But I think, not that there's an expectation to share more than the average Joe, but you almost feel compelled to. Am I speaking out of turn?
No, I think you're right in the line. This really, Barstool in general, not necessarily ZBT, but Barstool in general is very much like a reality show. I mean, it really is. And if you're not open and honest, people can tell. And people don't want that shit. Like, they want, that's what makes it appealing. That's what I think makes Barstool appealing, is that we are open about the struggle.
Yeah, I mean, if we never tell anyone about any of the bad things, like, oh, those people at Barstool, like, their lives are perfect. I never hear them talk about anything negative.
No, it's the relatability, I mean, that you have. And if we were Sad Sack Sallys all the time, people wouldn't want to, they wouldn't give a fuck about that either. Like,
yeah, we're not out here trying to feel sorry for ourselves.
Right. We all do pretty well, and we're not, I mean, it's a good thing that we got going on. So yeah. I was really relieved, broke down big time, big cry yesterday. I felt like, you know, when I was sitting there having the weepies in the doctor's office, and you know what popped in my mind? The old that? Dane Cook, I did my best. Yeah. I did my best. I wanted to like transform into that while I'm sitting on the fucking paper seats. Why do they have the paper seats of the neurologist too? Like, get them out of here.
Yeah, I don't know. That doesn't seem
even sanitary now. Like, the paper you would think would get all the germs inside of it. We got Lysol. Let's just fucking Lysol it.
That makes sense.
Heart seats in there.
And not to mention that paper is just the most annoying, craziest, loudest thing ever. And it's just,
they do it to cuck you. Like, it is a mental thing. Like, you have to sit down on the paper and it's like, you're the paper bitch. Like, fuck. I don't want to be the paper bitch. Sit
down. You are.
I should have made the first doctor sit on the paper.
Like, yeah, you know sit what? Here and you sit here in your wrongness you and be wrong.
Get your ass on this paper. Get on the paper. Crinkle it up. Crisscross applesauce.
Oh man. Hey, what do you think is the hardest doctor to be? A neurologist or a heart surgeon?
I would say like a brain surgeon, I think is just the top of the top. But then I know this is gonna sound fucked up. You hear people, and I know that he is one of the most renowned brain surgeons in the country. But when Ben Carson talks, he's not somebody that blows you away.
No. He's not exactly inspiring confidence that he's no. the most intelligent fellow in the room.
I mean, maybe that's what it is, that he's so smart that he just feels like he has to talk so softly and like calmly to everybody else can understand you whenever you're that smart. Yeah. But I don't talk to Ben Carson or hear Ben Carson being like, man, that guy's a fucking genius.
Yeah, you wouldn't guess it from just listening to him. But yeah, I think the brain. But here's the thing too, like something that blows my mind. When they take a heart from somebody else and then put it in another person and then tie it all up and they make it work. And I know there's sometimes it doesn't take or whatever, but more or less like these heart surgeons, they take other hearts and they make them work for other people. That blows my mind. I can't.
Well, brains too. I mean,
they do brain transplants.
But when you look at a brain and you like you see the inside of somebody's brain.
Yeah. Like what's that?
How they map things out. It looks like a wad of chewed bubblegum. Like you look at it and you're like, oh yeah, that's where your feelings come from. Fuck you. You don't know that.
Well, yeah, but it's like, think about all the people that along the way, they just kind of figured it out as they went, right? There was no textbook back in, you know, the 1800s, 1850, whatever, when they were doing brain surgery, if they were even doing brain surgery that far back. But at some point, nobody knew what the hell the brain did. And they had to just figure it out. We got a lot better ideas right now, and it's unbelievable with all the technology that we have. But somewhere along the way, they opened it up, and they're like, what is all this goddamn bubblegum?
No, wait. A more ridiculous aspect. Imagine being the first doctor that's like, the appendix, just take it out.
Yeah, you don't need that.
Like something that's inside your body, an organ. You're just like, ah, now get it out of here.
Nah, God was wrong on that one. You're all
you
set.
You look at your body, and you're like, wait, you can just start taking shit on the inside out?
Yeah.
We don't need all this?
Yeah, this is ridiculous. Unbelievable.
Not like they basically look at your body like it's a old house. You're like, oh no, that wall's not structural. You could take that down. We could do a little reno right here.
Yeah, that's just cosmetic. Don't worry about it.
Yeah. Take it out. Bulldoze that shit down. So you got a big weekend planned. You're going up to Newport, right?
Yeah, we're going up to Newport, Rhode Island. I've only been there one other time with our pal, John Feidelberg. So I'm excited. There's a few other couples going. I've had some troubles finding a boat to rent on Saturday, which is kind of a bummer. Because
classic officer problems.
I know. You know, I do. It might be a surprise to some, but despite my hate for the Navy, I do have my boating license. So I can't
operate a boat. Yeah, you got that a couple years ago.
Was that last year? Maybe. Yeah. Oh, no. Yeah. It was like maybe last spring. It seems like 2 years ago, but I think it was last spring before last summer. Cause, my mentor got a boat and he's like, Connor, I want you to have your license. So whenever you're out there with me, you can legally take the wheel here. So doing that, I'm also playing a really nice, everyone shouted out Newport National Golf Club. So I'm playing that tomorrow morning. So that'll be fun, but it's always good to just get away. I went and got some, I just now before we started recording, I went to the bodega to get some road trip snacks. What are your top road trip snacks?
Oh, this is easy. Beef jerky, gummy bears. I also, if I want a little bit of chocolate, I want a light chocolate. So I like the little Butterfinger bites. Is what I like whenever I'm going there. And then nothing like a huge, I'm talking like a 64 ounce, 89 ounce fucking fountain Coke.
Just give me a Camelback, a Coke Zero. Let's go.
Or no, regular Coke. Or if they have root beer, I might go with that too.
Yeah, I'm a huge Coke Zero guy. Mentally, it just makes me feel better about myself. Like I'm not that big of a dirtbag for drinking soda.
Oh no, like on because I try to drink less. Like when if I'm drinking less, I go full flavored Coke at night. Sometimes I'm like, oh yeah, just going out there and having a treat.
Yeah, it really is a treat. But now, throw into the mix, I'm going to be riding in a car with two females. So I don't know if the beef jerky plays up as well.
No, you got to do that. I think that they like that little bit of rustic.
Is that sexist? Is that sexist for me to say?
I think so.
I might get in trouble for that one.
Yeah, you might have just got canceled.
Uh-oh. I can't have that.
No.
Oh, geez.
I think I'm going to be doing some projects this weekend. I'm actually looking forward to it. Oh, go.
Speaking of projects, I might need you to fly up here for just like a day.
All right.
And if I buy you all of the necessary lumber, I need you to build me a Adirondack lifeguard chair.
Oh, that's easy. I can do that.
See, here's the thing. Like, I look at an Adirondack chair and I'm like, you know what? I bet you my father and I could do that together. We could build it. We just don't have any of the tools. Like, you have all these tools now. That's the problem.
You only need two tools for that, though. Like, what do you need? Because you can make an Adirondack chair just out of 2x4s. So you can do 2x4s and a circular saw and a drill. That's all you need.
I guess that makes sense. We just don't have a circular saw. We're not going to get
I mean, you get a circular saw for like $50.
Now you're putting these ideas in my head. You're making it seem more plausible that we could do this ourselves.
Also, how impressive is it? Kyle's watching too. How impressive is that I knew that right off the bat? Like, what you need?
Yeah. If I had asked you that question 3 months ago, you'd been like, I don't know, guy. You need like 46 different instruments to make this thing happen for yourself.
I was in a deep state of depression yesterday, not because of the Parkinson's stuff, but because I got this. I signed up for essentially every woodworking email that you can get, I got it. Like, mm-hmm. I get it now. It comes to my inbox. One of them is a little store in San Antonio. It's one of those mom and pop type of stores that is just for woodworkers. All mm-hmm. they have is nice woods. They have like walnut. They have the hardwoods in there. They have mahogany that you can go and buy. Because of coronavirus and because really like big shops, they're shutting down, man. They've been this shop has been open for like 70 years.
What?
And they keep shutting down. And I called. I was like, what do you guys have? Because I was thinking about like, I'll go up there, I'll fucking buy some shit, I'll charge it to Barstool for the projects that I'm gonna do, try to help this shop out. And they're like, it's basically over, man. Like, we're just like returning what we can and it's done. And I was so sad for him. The guy sounded so defeated.
That stinks so bad. But I mean, that guy's not alone. I'm sure there's plenty of businesses across the country.
I mean,
that
you're talking about now, right? I mean, 5 months into it. Like, really shut down where you can go. Not many people are risking going out to go to the fucking woodworker shop.
Yeah. But credit to that guy for staying open for 70 years as it is.
Yeah.
Because even, you know, in the last decade, 2 decades, with the advent of the Lowe's and the Home Depot's of the world, all these mom and pop hardware type stores and woodworking type stores went the way of the, I forgot what I was going to say. Went the way of the something or other.
That's what they say. Went the way of something or other. Let's move on into our interview that we have with Jenna Burkett. I'm fascinated by how much wrestlers stay in shape. Like, it's not you play football, you know, like you mm-hmm. have football level of shape, which to play football in the season, you obviously have to be in good shape. Football players don't stay in shape year round. They just flat out don't.
I know what you're talking about, because I just think to my friends who are, you know, our age, who were wrestlers in mm-hmm. high school and college, and they just are still in ridiculous shape.
Yeah, it just like sticks around like muscle memory and things like that. You mean,
like, dude, why do you have all those abs still? Like, why are you doing this to me?
KB at Barstool, he's still fucking. He could probably go out and run miles right now, like no mm-hmm. problem at all. But they go out and it's every day. That's one sport that eats your life up. That jiu-jitsu does. Like, whenever you're talking about high level sports, to be able to have that level of dedication to something, it takes your entire life, and to have that chance to go to the Olympics kind of ripped away is something that I would be devastated about. Jenna has a great attitude about it. She's still in the Army and has found out that she loves the Army. Like, she is thinking about staying in past, which I think is really cool. Here's Jenna Burkett and her story about being on the wrestling team. All right, now on Zero Blog 30, I'm pleasured to have Jenna Burkett, who is an Army wrestler. She's up at Colorado Springs right now, still doing training, although it's COVID season, so some of the training has gone down. But you are probably one of the sick fucks out there who actually really likes training. Like, I think most military people are like, no PT for 6 months. Fuck yeah. But you probably are super disappointed.
Yeah, I invested in the home gym early, so I've been pretty lucky.
Yeah, I mean, the home gym thing is no joke. I just recently bought a water rower. Check this out, a little water rower.
No, and,
trying to find like a beach cruiser at the beginning of COVID was impossible. I mean, they were so expensive and they were nowhere to be found. What can you do at home that mimics? You just really focus on cardio?
I mean, I try to get my wife to wrestle me if she will, but that's usually a no. You know, my neighbors look at me like I'm crazy doing some type of stance and motion in my yard. But yeah, wrestling's a big cardio sport. So I try to do a lot of aerodyne. And if I'm feeling up to it, I try to run.
Your wife ever get sick of you trying to fight her?
All the time. Like, I don't know how to hug normal. I just go for like an underhook. So that's, yeah, that's their lifestyle for sure.
But that's kind of nice though. Like I like it when my wife and I am the little spoon, even though I'm a bigger guy, I like to be the little spoon and her to dig like her heels into my hips and pull me back. I like that.
For sure. Yeah. Every time I'm like, see, I could throw you from here. I'm like, if you just let me.
Right. Like, babe, I know you could. I know you could. You don't have to prove it to me anymore.
We get it.
So how is life for you? Is your wife in the service as well? Or is she just a dependent on base?
Just a good old dependent, no. But she's very involved in the sport world. So she's the director of marketing for the Athlete Performance Solutions, which is like APS Nike Wrestling. So,
oh, cool.
Yeah, so prior to that, she worked for USA Wrestling, and she was the like global marketing person there. And so she's very involved in the sports world. That's how we met. So she's very used to that kind of active lifestyle.
And obviously, you're a very accomplished wrestler. You have been on multiple national teams. You're on the Army full-time team. When did wrestling start for you? Is that something that you've done since you were a child, or did you get into it a little bit later in life?
Goodness, yeah. So I'm 26 or 27 now, and I've been wrestling since I was 6 years old. Just kind of picked it up out of the blue. You know, no one in my family wrestled. My brother is autistic and he's 5 years older than me. So I attribute a lot of my just the rough around the edges lifestyle mm-hmm. to him. You know, we didn't grow up playing any board games or things like that. But we would wrestle all the time. So it was a very natural sport for me. So yeah, I've been doing it pretty much my whole life.
When you went to high school, did they have like a women's wrestling team at your high school, or did you go up against the dudes, or how did that work out?
No, yeah. So I wrestled boys my whole life, and well, up until I was 15 years old. And then I made a cadet team where I went over to El Salvador. I won that competition. And from there, I kind of was introduced to the United States Olympic Education Center, which is in Marquette, Michigan. And they invited me there. They said it would be something like my senior year in high school that I would go live out there. But then a spot opened up. And so my sophomore year in high school, I packed up by myself. Like I moved up to Northern Michigan, lived on the campus there. So that was a really hard experience, but it paid off. But so from that point on, I wrestled women, and I was on that junior and senior age level. So, but I did grow up, you know, I'm from New York, so I had to wrestle boys. I'm not from a state where you have girls wrestling.
That is unbelievable. I can't imagine, my kid is 15. I can't imagine her being like, all right, I'm going to go and do full-time tuba in Northern Michigan. I'm like, okay.
Yeah. It took a lot of hustling to win over my dad. And I, you know, I just thought it would be something like, well, I was like, well, if I hate it, I'll just quit. And then I got there and I hated it. And I was like, well, there's no way I'm quitting. Like, I got to stick this one through.
Right. Especially after all that talk that it takes to get to that point when you're there, you're a young lady and you're in El Salvador. Anything crazy going through your mind? Like, what am I doing? I'm in El Salvador wrestling.
You know, it was like my first real experience in another country, and you just kind of like see how that world is, and it's so different to the lifestyle I grew up in Rocky Point, New York. But my mom did come with me, and you know, I was with the other, you know, the rest of my teammates, and it was really eye-opening to see like how less fortunate these guys, mm-hmm. how they were, you know, and just it's humbling. And I always love to see these countries, you know, from Brazil and El Salvador, and they don't have much. But man, do these guys work hard, and they're producing medals too. So it just shows like you don't need everything to accomplish your goals.
Yeah, it's not one of those sports like swimming, you know, like if you look at most places that are really good in swimming, they're pretty affluent. In order to have a super huge Olympic sized pool, you have to have a little bit of money. A wrestling mat's not the same. Like you can go out into the dirt and just get down with it. So basically anywhere you're at, you can wrestle. I think that's a great thing. And we had Bobby Lashley. Do you know Bobby?
I've heard of him. Yeah.
Yeah. WWE superstar. And he actually had the pipeline where he was in the Army and for a wrestling. Was your career kind of like his, where the Army scouted you and said, hey, you know, we'll pay you to wrestle too?
You know, similar, but also different. Like, those guys really paved the way so that I could even have the opportunity that I have, you know. They worked hard, and like WCAP, the World Class Athlete Program, developed from being a part of All Army Sports. And so I came in, you know, I was living out in Colorado at the training center, realized it wasn't my favorite of fits. It's just, it can be a little political. Mm-hmm. And so I had talked to the Army coaches, and, you know, everyone who was the best in the country was a part of the Army WCAP team. And I was like, hold up, you guys are doing exactly what I'm doing, and you guys are getting paid. Like, that's right. What I need to do, you know?
Yeah.
Otherwise, you...
I don't want to go work at Wendy's. I want to get a decent little paycheck.
Yeah. I need to be able to get these burgers on a consistent basis. Yeah.
Right.
And that's the thing about Olympic sports. It's crazy. It's like, you have to, you know, you are surviving from tournament to tournament. So if you get injured and you're out for a year, like, sorry, Charlie.
Right. I can't even imagine. And then when you're going through there, like, because you have to go to regular boot camp too. So when you show up and you've been training with the Army team and you show up at boot camp, any special treatment, or did you feel like you had a little bit an up and up on what to expect?
I try to go with an open mind. I was told a lot to, like, basically don't tell anyone you're a WCAP wrestler. They're going to, like, be picking on you.
They probably knew, since you're in pretty fucking good shape. I mean, they probably had an idea.
It took until the first PT test, like the 1-1-1. And I think I did like 49 pushups in like a minute, because it was just the 1-1-1. And I remember my drill sergeant walking around me, and she was like, who the hell are you? And she's like looking at my, and I'm just like, oh no, I'm just like, I work out occasionally. And she's like, yeah, well, why do you have like these, you know, messed up cauliflower ears?
Yeah.
And I was like, oh yeah, I mean, I do wrestle.
We had a dude that I went to boot camp with who got kicked out of the Naval Academy like a semester before they were supposed to graduate. He was on the cross country team there and got in trouble for cheating. So he had to enlist in order to not pay all of his money back. Well, when he was on the cross country team at the Naval Academy, so he was running 3 miles in like right around 15 minutes. And the first PT test that we took, and he finished at like 15:10 or something like that. And the drill instructors were like, what the fuck?
Yeah. Yeah. Then they started asking who I was. And I remember, you know, this one drill sergeant, he was like actively looking up the wrestling team and started to see like, you know, what I placed at all these tournaments. And I was like, oh, well, secret's out now.
Yeah. So after you get done with basic training, what your MOS, your supply, right?
Yeah.
So do you have to do that much, or are you just out in Colorado doing your own thing, or do they make you actually go and they're like, okay, go count the flak jackets?
So I try to both, you know, because I don't want to like basically not know anything about my MOS. So I'm fortunate enough to know a lot of people around Fort Carson where I can kind of go and like see what they're doing, so that, you know, someday when I have to do it, I can do it. But right now I'm currently on orders to basically try to win world and Olympic medals. So wrestling's what I do, but my MOS is still the unit supply specialist.
So a day-to-day for somebody on your team, what does that look like right now?
I mean, prior to like COVID, you know, it's like normal formations every day. We go to that, kind of see what's going to be the game plan for the week from the commander, the first sergeant. And then from there we go and like do our cleaning, and then we'll go to do our practice and then cleaning afterwards. And then it's like staying up to date on any type of online trainings, medical, you know, things like that. And then from there we would get ready for our, like, you know, go home for like an hour for lunch and then come back and do your second workout. And pretty much that, yeah.
Yeah, is it pretty Army discipline style where you have like a lot of rank structure, or is it a little bit more relaxed?
I would say now it's a lot more like the rank structure. I think there's a lot of good like leaders in the room that want to make sure we don't like get too comfortable and complacent. Mm-hmm. Cause it's, you know, it's easy to do so and think like, oh, wrestling's my world or whatever sport is your world. And so we've got some, like a good sergeant first class and staff sergeants in the room that, you know, keep us in line and make sure that we know that we're soldiers first and wrestlers second.
Yeah, that's great. I think that that's the best way to do it. Cause when you might have to stay in, like you can't wrestle forever, right? Like, so having like a nice little career backup is not a bad option for you either.
Yeah, exactly. I think, you know, when I initially joined, it was heavily wrestling mindset. And then as I went through the system and went to different schools, I realized, oh man, I kind of like it. Like, it's pretty easy for me to succeed, you know, like I'm pretty smart, I'm athletic, and like, you know, I can listen to people. And so I found that, like, you know, I like to be able to lead soldiers and kind of like lead by example. And so, you know, I do have the mindset of life after wrestling.
And for you and your wife, has there been any big adjustments for you guys in the COVID of like being around each other more often? Because my wife works from home, so like we're always around each other. That's probably why you're getting more antsy and wanting to go to battle a little bit more with her.
Exactly. Yeah. So once she stopped working at USA Wrestling, she was working from home. So she's got a really awesome job where she's just, you know, always on the computer, like virtual. She's been doing the COVID lifestyle. So it was me that basically, like, once Fort Carson was like, all soldiers are being like, you have to stay inside for that, you know, end of March until April. And then by May, we were transitioning back and we'd been quarantined. So it was very weird. And it was like mentally challenging because the beginning of April was supposed to be Olympic trials. So that kind of mental impact was difficult. Like, okay, well, I'm not wrestling. When am I going to wrestle? You know, there was much more uncertainty in the beginning of quarantine. You know, we thought Olympic trials might just get pushed till June. And so now our Olympic trials are pushed until April of 2021.
Wow. And I imagine in this job, you have, like, I was a canine handler. So we would go do demonstrations at school and show the kids the dogs and things like that. I imagine being a part of the Army wrestling team, that's a big part of it too, is being out in the community. And I'm sure that the impact of little girls and little boys seeing you on this team, it's almost like a superhero type of, they're like, whoa, not only is she a wrestler, but she's a wrestler for the Army. Wow.
Yeah. It's, I mean, people just realize there's a lot more that you can do. And we adamantly go on these, we call them tear missions. And we basically just go to high schools and, you know, kind of what you were saying, we'll do wrestling clinics. Sometimes I'll go to the state tournament and just walk around. And then we do another thing called total soldier enhancement training. And that's where we have like units around Fort Carson, or sometimes we go there as well, and they'll come into our room and we basically show them how to use what we use to be better soldiers in the field, you know, all that mental training that we do, and we implement it for them. And we, you know, it's been proven that like pretty much any unit that we've seen and showed them kind of like our techniques, you know, because it's different than just going to the gym and, you know, doing some bench presses.
Right.
Like, yeah. So there's been a lot of success with Army WCAP going there, and especially with the wrestling team. You know, we're on a lot of these T-sets and tears because it's such an intense sport. But there is a lot to translate to just normal soldiers and things like that. So, yeah, we're constantly around Fort Carson and going, you know, state to state, really.
And I imagine just normal workouts for you guys, like wrestling shape notoriously, like some of the best conditioned athletes in the world. When you see them make the jump to like the UFC, the wrestlers can often dominate, one reason because of cardio. I imagine there's a huge advantage of if you go to a joint service school or you go to something like that and you guys are together, for you going on a little ruck for a couple miles, not going to kick your ass comparatively to most other people.
Yeah, wrestling is one of the sports that really trains you for everything. And then like the mind game of the sport, you know, like we're a weight class discipline sport, you know, like people always have this like misconception, like, you know, they're like, oh, if you just drink water,
God, I bet the people there are so annoying with their fucking salmon and coming in with their carrots. And
yes.
Shit.
They're like, if you drink, there's zero calories in water. I'm like, yes, my guy, but it's 16 ounces, buddy.
Yeah.
Yeah, so if I weigh in an hour, I can't drink this, you know.
Yeah, the things that you have to focus on, I bet that, I would say of all the things, not necessarily being in the Army or being active duty, the diet that you have to keep has got to be what drives your spouse insane.
Yeah, it was insane for me before I met my wife. You know, I felt like I did all the things nutritionally wrong. I was on the mindset of, oh, I make weight and then I can binge eat and then I'll just lose the weight next time. And she's really implemented this like constant lifestyle of eating better. And it's really saved like my life in the sense of my sport, because I don't think I would be competing still if I hadn't, you know, met my wife 4 years ago.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, you know, she just truly helped me with that, because I just was having such a hard time making weight, and basically wrestling and my job became miserable. And so now when I'm, you know, prior to COVID, I'm typically walking around my weight class just a kilo over. So I don't have that stress anymore. You know, I just have to like be diligent, you know.
Well, it must be strange to be able to talk to your wife about gaining weight. It must be strange. Most of us aren't in that position to where we can bring it up. So Jenna, I want to thank you for joining us on Zero Block 30. It's always a pleasure to have somebody like you. Thank you for what you're doing and the example that you are to many young women and young boys out there. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you so much for the opportunity.
She was great. I love Jenna. She was super nice and talking about what she's going through and the different stuff. Because, you know, it's kind of like, for me, it would be like an infantry dude. Whenever you're in the infantry and you don't have any deployments coming up, what do? Like, you go out, you go to the range, you come back, you clean. It's the same thing for them. They don't have any tournaments coming. And she was saying that one of the last things they could do would be wrestling. Like, wrestling will be one of the last thing to come back, because it can't be healthy to be breathing in somebody's fucking eardrum.
Yeah. Not to mention, I mean, I never wrestled a day in my life other than just messing around with friends. But I mean, I've seen wrestling practices. Those don't look fun. No, at all. Dude. It's not like, oh, great,
anything
I get to go to wrestling practice.
Common to get ringworm, get it out of here. I don't want ringworm.
Not having it.
Have you gone places? Are you a big mask wear right now, Cons?
Yeah, I mean, so I'll be very forthright. I wear it certainly when I go in anywhere, but anytime I can have it not on, I don't wear it, because I feel as though, like, the CDC has said, here's how you contract it. And as much as people are going to give me grief right now for saying, you know, you don't need or you should be wearing it at all times, I just look around and I see so many people not wearing it. And if I'm not within 6 feet of anyone, I don't know. I have a hard time putting it on.
So when you're inside someplace, like,
100%.
Like, I was in Lowe's the other day and I was going through the different paints and, like, looking for stuff to paint our patio with. Mm-hmm. And I'm sitting there, cause I wear glasses, it's getting all fogged up. Mm-hmm. And just the prospect of wearing it around, you get winded. Mm-hmm. When the NFL said that their players were going to have to wear a mask during the season, how?
I don't know.
How are they going to do that?
That looks ridiculous. I saw some of the helmet concepts.
Not even looks, just the physical aspects. How can you fucking breathe?
Oh, yeah. No, like, you talk about trying to get a deep breath with a mask, and it's just that much more complicated.
No, not going
to happen. The people, you've seen the people wear the mask to simulate altitude training.
Yeah.
It would be similar to that, I would imagine, to where you just are fighting to get a breath, and it just doesn't come. Now, just think, like, you're running a two-minute drill. You're one of these offensive linemen trying to get down the field running a two-minute drill, and you can be in as good a shape as ever. Guess what? Most guys aren't in masks shape.
Dude, you're a nose tackle, and you pick up a fumble, and you have to run it back 60 yards.
Yeah.
That nose tackle will die.
He's going to collapse. That's going to be his end zone dance.
Do it.
Yeah. No, not at all.
Are they going to have fresh oxygen masks? Because those fatties need it anyways, like early in September, like for the early games. They come off the side in Jacksonville. So humid. Now you're adding a mask on that too. In Jacksonville, like, you play an early season game, it's going to be 100% humidity, 95 degrees down on the field. First game of the year where you're actually going out and hitting for four quarters and you're wearing a mask.
No, thank you.
No.
No, thank you. Yeah, I don't know. They're gonna have to figure it out. But I'm getting a little restless listening to all the. We're gonna have sports. We're not gonna have sports.
We're not having sports. There's no shot.
I've said this before. I had a coach used to say this saying. He used to say, "Don't tell me about the pain. Just show me the baby." I'm tired of these reports. I don't want to hear these reports anymore. Just either there's gonna be sports or there's not gonna be sports. I don't want to keep hearing it every day.
They need to do something, though, because you have to crown a champion, and people want a champion to be crowned. We were talking about it on our radio show the other day. I think that they should take back and do, like, an old school challenge like they used to do for the Pro Bowl, whenever they would have, like, the sand games and things like that, where the quarterbacks would go out and they'd have the golf cart that's going by and you have to hit the target and see. They used to have, like, Marino and Favre. And
oh, those were so good, man.
And you'd watch it. If you did that and you said, okay, Lakers are going up against the Suns. First up is a skills competition. We're going to pull a random ping pong ball out. Oh, you have LeBron James versus, let's say, Turner. And then they have to do, like, a point guard competition where it's passing and see who could be the most accurate. and then you get one, still best of seven series where you're, everybody is like individual sports where you're doing individual things, but you get officially crowned as the champion at the end. People would watch the shit out of that.
I wholeheartedly agree that they would watch, but there would just be some sort of asterisk and people would not necessarily.
But it'd still be entertaining.
Yeah, we need something at this point. You're absolutely right.
I mean, you have them and you still have like Jalen Rose and Jeff Van Gundy doing like the announcing and things like that. And it would give a chance for lesser known athletes to be out on the big stage and make something happen. And the pressure that would be there, because people just like free kicks, or just have an entire World Cup of nothing but free kicks.
I don't hate that idea, because I mean, that's
a great idea.
That's kind of like the best part of the soccer game as it is. Yeah. So
if all you do is just nothing but free kicks, and you'd be socially distanced big time.
Very big time. I'm in. You can Lysol the ball down after each kick.
Yep. Do the same thing with hockey. Anything that has a net, you do it. Like, it's fine.
All right. Okay. I'm in.
We just solved that.
You're welcome.
Yeah, you are very, very welcome. All right. If you want to smell good while you're watching those kind of competitions, maybe go over to Hawthorne, because Hawthorne is amazing. I've been bubble bathing it up, man, lately. I've been.
How's that any different than what you normally do?
Well, with this one, it smells so much better that it's so nice. It's like I don't even want to get out. I've been doing two baths in one lately.
Whoa.
Where I have been bathing it up, drain the water, fill it back up, and do it again.
How long is this process?
Could be up to an hour and a half. I got nothing but time right now.
You're 90 minutes in a tub.
Yeah, just hanging out.
Oh, my goodness. That's something.
Sometimes I start at 6:30. I'll start my day with a nice hot bath. It's wonderful. You can do that too if you go and you get cedar and orange smell like they have at Hawthorne. I love it. Your significant other is going to love it too, because they have the different types of cologne. I think that's one thing from staying at home. People don't get dressed up as much. But if you just walk out, you're still in your normal t-shirt, you're still in some normal basketball shorts or whatever you're wearing, and you throw on some cologne, that's like putting on a three-piece suit right now.
Mm-hmm. Like that is the equivalent. You're absolutely right.
Yeah, so we went golfing the other day as a family. I threw on some golf shorts, not like fancy shorts, just golf shorts. Mm-hmm. They just had spots for a belt on it. And my family was blown away at how nice I looked. that's how different things
Dad,
are.
Dad, you're not in underwear.
They're like, holy shit, Dad, you clean up nice. I'm like, yeah. I'm wearing a shirt today. It's awesome, man.
We've set the bar so incredibly low right now.
It is. It's great.
Great.
but you can go get some Hawthorne stuff. Smell good. They have the work, the play. You can sign up on their little website. All kinds of stuff comes. Everybody likes to feel fancy. When the Hawthorne package gets there, you feel super fancy. It comes in all black little boxes that you open it up, and each thing is individually wrapped. It's really, really nice. Go to Hawthorne.co. That's Hawthorne with an E. Use our promo code zero to get 10% off your first purchase. That's Hawthorne.co, and use our promo code zero to get 10% off. Kate,
I'm just sorry. All the Hawthorne containers, they're all such a sleek looking container that you would think it's like super expensive. It's obviously very affordable. Otherwise we wouldn't be promoting it. And it's just, it really is great stuff.
It's one of those things where if you're like a lady and you go over to somebody's house, you go over to a dude's house, you've hooked up on Tinder and you've read the advice from the Surgeon General and the CDC about glory holes and shit like that. So you want to go over to a fella who's has cut a hole into his wall. And then you walk into his bathroom where the glory hole is located and you're like, this dude's got nice stuff. He's basically like Christian Grey from 50 Shades of Grey. I bet he's about to give me the ride of my life.
I mean, that is naturally where anyone's brain would go. You're right.
That's what I think whenever it gets delivered to my door. Kate is down in New Jersey. She's taking a little time off. Glad for her. Her computer is shit in the bed. I just told her, I was like, just fucking take the day off, man. Don't. We got the show today. This is what happens when Kate leaves now. She prepared the sheet. I don't want to talk about it.
No.
there's things happening in the military world. Don't give a fuck today. There's just days that on this show, even in the military world, I don't care.
Hey, mama said there'd be days like this.
So Kate wanted us to talk about, here's what we were supposed to talk about today that Kate wanted us to talk about. The VA is giving out these ugly ass shoes. They're basically the finger toe shoes, but they're made of hemp. That was story number one. This is how slow it is right now in the military world. These are the top five stories that Kate can find today. The next one, You can't afford a Rolls Royce? Join the Navy and you might be able to chance to cruise one around. Kate was surprised to learn that Rolls Royce is still making engines and stuff like that for the military. They have been for decades. Round number three, when a little girl got sucked out of sea on a lollipop raft, the Coast Guard swooped in. I do regret not being able to talk about that because we do like to talk about the Coast Guard. Coast Guards get shit on all the time, but they're the ones primarily in America that are helping folks out. Them and the National Guard. The two that get shit on the most probably do more for the continental United States than any other branches combined.
Yeah, it's such a great point because you think about like all the branches of the military that go and fight in combat, and like you're protecting our country, but also you're fighting in other countries. You're not necessarily having a very direct effect on the people of this country, whereas, as you just astutely pointed out, the Coast Guard and National Guard, yeah, direct effect. So maybe we should rethink our approach and how we talk about those branches.
Nah.
Yeah, you're right.
The next one up is grab your camping gear. The Senate has passed a bill granting service-connected veterans lifetime passes to the national park, which I think is great. I have one of those. I have the national park pass where you can go.
Wasn't that already a thing? Because if you remember, we were in Florida and we went to the one national park and
State park. That was a state
park. Oh, okay. All right.
So state parks, some any veterans, the national parks, like you're talking Big Bend, you're talking the Deadlands, you're talking Yosemite that you can get into free. And those are pretty expensive to get into.
Are they really?
Yeah, those can be pretty pricey to get into, the whole family going out. It's nice, though. We actually were thinking about going out to – I want to do that next year. We were going to go to Alaska this summer, and then I want to start going to the national parks. I think renting an RV and just cruising around and taking it easy and just going to check out different spots, different swimming holes would be awesome. I think that would be
vacation. A great idea. You map it all out, and you figure out where you're going to go. And I think, by and large, the people you meet – when you go to those places are fairly nice and friendly.
Yeah, I would say that too. What about anything going on? You got, I guess, Save Runs Alibis. Anything going on for you, Cons?
Yeah, so last night, I've been walking a lot during quarantine. So naturally, you know, your feet get a little messed up. And I realized there was something going on between my big toe and my pointer toe. Is that what we call the next one in on the feet, the pointer toe?
Yeah, we'll call it the pointer toe.
The pointer toe. And I noticed, and I was feeling, I was like, you know what? I think that's a blister. So I got down, I looked in a mirror. Sure enough, I had a blister. And I'm sitting in my kitchen just behind me right now.
Looking for moleskin?
No. I was like, all right, I gotta pop this thing. I tried just popping it with my fingers, couldn't get it. I look up on the counter, there's a wine key, you know, and I just take the cork of the wine key, pop that sucker.
There you go.
Drain that guy. Everyone's like, oh, he's an officer. No, I do grimy ass shit just like you guys.
I can't wait for Alex to find that out.
I know. Well, I don't. I hope she's not listening right now. Yeah, she's gonna be like, "You're fucking disgusting." Excuse me for cursing.
Yeah, but she's right.
Yeah, and then one other thing, we got sent a picture, which I believe came from the Naval Academy, and the guy who sent the pictures was all up in arms that they were making them do a urinalysis. And he said, this is so hypocritical that they're making us do a urinalysis while talking about social distancing. I'm like, guy, you just figuring this out now that the military doesn't make sense most of the time? Like, what are you talking about? But I noticed everyone's shirt was untucked. And I'm like,
yeah, disgusting little nasty
things. What are you doing? He's like, oh, yeah, that's actually how we wear them. We wear them untucked. I'm like,
you nasty little worms.
That's gross. See,
sometimes we are often on the side of the junior troop, whether they be officer or enlisted, but sometimes just shut the fuck up, you pussy. Like, you're taking a urinalysis. I understand we had it whenever it was down at, what was it, Fort Bragg, that had like 2,000 people that were standing outside for 14 hours. That's a little much. There's like 9 of you in the hallway. Shut up. Just piss in a cup and move on.
Yeah. Get over it.
My God.
Can't have
that. My God, what are we doing at the Naval Academy? Unbelievable. Kyle, what about you, buddy? Anything?
I just kind of want to jump on the social media bandwagon there. I agree. We get sent a ton of stuff through the DMs, and it's great. You know, 90% of it's great. But then there's a handful of people who are just completely out of touch. Like one National Guardsman wanted us to try to get his NTC rotation canceled in case he had to.
Wait, what?
Yeah. He DM'd us. He's like, hey, is there a hotline we can call for you guys to get because we were deployed to Washington for the protest, and now they're trying to rotate, make us do our NTC rotation. That's bullshit. Like, buddy, we're not your goddamn, you know, whatever the army, your IG.
I don't give a shit what we say.
I'm sorry. Am I gonna call a senator? Yeah. Or what do they expect us to do?
We'll call the president, bud. Don't worry about it. Fuck NTC. You're not gonna do any training. So
you know what? We should just make up some ZBT chits. Like you just print out a chit on our Instagram, and then we'll sign it. And then by direction, you can sign it.
And then
you just give it to your chain of command. If there's something you don't want to do, be like, actually no.
I'm good on this. Actually, we really actually need to do that. I need to see people start utilizing that.
And like, I think they need to understand who they're coming. They're going after. Like, they want an army captain, a retired Marine Staff Sergeant, and then I was a Marine Staff Sergeant, now retired.
We should have the chit come from Corporal Kate.
Yeah, Kate do the chits, because I don't think they're going to like the honest response they would get, because that just isn't – I don't think that's any of us. Like, oh, man, I'm so sad. Are your feelings okay? Like,
right.
Like, you're not going to get the result you want, so probably just keep that stuff to your little E4 mafia, and you guys can commiserate together.
That being said, keep the submission.
That's a great point. I'm sorry, but that's a great point, Kyle. If we just start running around fixing everything, the E4 Mafia is not going to have anything to gripe about.
And then we're not going to have great stuff to put on social when there is a Fort Rucker where, like, at 0-200, there's 2,000 soldiers. But yeah, other than that, the DMs are great. Keep sending us stuff. Keep, you know, bothering us on social. And always enjoy the interaction with our listeners. And if you follow us on social and you don't listen, maybe we don't like you very much. Maybe you should
exactly
listen.
Right.
Because when you come after us for something we talked about on the show, no, I'm not going to listen to you, because we already talked about it. So
that's right. I don't have much going on right now.
Hey, no, what were you saying you were going to work on this weekend?
Me?
Yes.
Oh, porch stuff. I'm hopefully going to finish up the porch. It's been raining, so we haven't been able to do the stencil back there. So we're going to do that. I'm also going to be starting the plans on how I'm going to build like a barbecue kitchen back there for my big green egg.
Okay.
I'm gonna try to design that. I might be getting a shed put in next week.
That's big news.
Yeah. So I might do that and then try to add electricity to it myself. That would be something.
Nope.
Wow.
Nope. Kyle's shaking his head. No. So, because I want to turn a big shed into my workshop. So I'm thinking about getting like a 10x12 shed and then making that into the workshop and getting electricity added to it and just working back there. So I have more room in my garage.
Not even just the room in your garage and tidying up your garage, but just I think if you had a shed, it would almost be like you're going to a different world. Like, dad's out in a shed. Don't bother him. That's it. He's
having
out
that out there with some music.
And yeah.
Chilling and building an Adirondack chair to mail to my guy. That would be awesome. That's it for this week. Kate will be back. We have a July 4th week, which should be interesting. And then we will be back. Bars will be back full swing of things. July 6th is when we're planning on opening up the office. So it'll be awesome. Everything will be back kind of to normal. Maybe we'll see.
Ish.
Yeah, that's the plan. I doubt it happens. We'll see though. Sound the retreat.